All right, we're back. Second hour of the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona, with my guest Marilyn Barnwall. And Marilyn, we're looking at 6 months before the book comes out. Do I get first dibs on putting it on my website?
You sure? I'll send you a copy. Because
I'd love, honestly, I'd love to read it.
Really appreciate it.
Yeah. No. What I do? Matter of fact, I just did an expose. About a week ago on Russell Means, and I read his autobiography before I did the expose. Are you familiar with Russell Means? Do you know who he is?
I've heard the name, but no, I'm not. I've seen it in articles.
He's an Indian that's he's an activist for the Lakota Sioux Nation, the Oglala Lakota Sioux Nation, and they redeclared their independence and pulled out of their treaties from the United States because the United States government has violated.
That's what I heard.
Yeah, they violated everyone. I had him on my show last week, and I read his autobiography first, and I did an expose, and I tell you, it was a wonderful book, and I put it up on my website, and and I will be happy to do the same with you. I'll read your book and I'll do an expose on it for you. Okay.
Oh, thank you.
I'll tell them how bad it is. No.
Well, there's one other thing that I think people don't know about banks and mortgage companies and what would I do if I had money. I think the biggest thing people need to do is get out of debt, Michael. Did you know that if a bank fails or the company that holds it happens to hold your mortgage, say. Any loan you have with a bank, I don't care what the term of the loan is or how far ahead you may have it paid, and it has a 20-year term, they will call that loan immediately. So be sure that any loan you have on the books, you can pay if you're required to do so.
Well, you know, this may surprise you to know, but yes, I knew that. I was in the mortgage business for a few years, I did know that. But at any rate, yes. As a matter of fact, I was sent a clip by Tim Wingate, who shotguns for me, and he will be shotgunning for me next Friday, Monday, and Tuesday. He sent me a clip on a new program that some Australian company had come out with on paying down the debt. And it's very important because – I'm glad you brought that up, Marilyn, because did you know that Bank of America is stepping in to buy out Countrywide Mortgage for $6 billion?
Yeah, Countrywide, though, has always been somewhat of a subsidiary of B of A. So I'm a little curious as to the base of that story. I saw that, and it surprised me.
Well, you know, they've been running into all kinds of problems, and I'm not a financial analyst. We've got Bob Chapman that comes up on John Stadtmiller's show every week, and he's a world-renowned financial analyst, and I generally leave that stuff to him. But there's a couple of things I want to touch on with you today, since you have a banking background. And you'd sent me this article, and there's there's a paragraph I want to read out here because it says that the year 2008 – will bring with it a level of confusion never seen before in the nation's history. Well, I think that's already happening because it says economists will be found befuddled, scratching their heads, dazed, and without solutions. and from the limited amount of times that I've happened to be in front of a TV and watching a financial analyst, and this is back like the end of 2007, they're already doing that.
Yeah, that's exactly right, although they aren't letting you see them scratch.
Well, I mean, they're on TV and they're talking to each other. And as a matter of fact, there's been a couple of comments made. Who was it? Oh boy, I can't think of the guy's name now. He moved to Singapore recently. Okay, He was a head. What's that?
Jim Rogers.
Jimmy Rogers, yeah, and I had a conversation with him. We corresponded via email, and he moved to Singapore not long ago. And basically, he's saying the same. I mean, he got up on mainstream, which is a big no-no. And basically told Bernanke to resign. At any rate, we got to go to a break. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. We'll be back with more with my guest, Marilyn Barnwall, when we get back. The phone lines are open, folks, 800-313-9443. If you have an economic question or any other question or comment that you might like to toss out here, it's Friday. Give us a call. Be right back.
Gasoline prices are out of control. Are you tired of giving your hard-earned dollars to the major oil companies? Did you know that the oil companies have developed special products to increase mileage in their own vehicles? Very few customers even know such products exist. SFR has obtained this technology that is backed by testing the oil companies have run, yet they don't want you to know about them. This product is made right here in the United States and is not a typical gas treatment found at your local store. SFR lasts up to 6 months. SFR works so well that it even improves mileage on new cars. SFR recently ran this ad, and the response from all over the U.S. was so incredibly strong that we're allowing listeners to receive a free bottle when one is purchased at our regular price of $9.99. If you're not completely delighted with the savings, we'll refund the purchase price and shipping. Share the oil company's secret and get SFR now. Call 888-USE-SFR-1. That's 888-873-7371 today.
Who listening out there has an electric bill? Oh, boy, I sure do. Well, what if I told you that if you live in Texas or New York State, that same electric bill can be a lot cheaper? Would you believe me? Well, you should, because EnergySwap.com can save you up to 20% on your electric bill. No joke. EnergySwap.com has rates as low as 10.99 cents per kilowatt. Now, there's no cost to switch. They've got flat rate plans and even award programs. When you switch your service to EnergySwap.com, nothing changes except the size of your bill. Enroll today and start saving money right now. It's energy-swap.com. Or you can call 888-238-6397. Again, that's 888-238-6397. Currently in Texas and New York only. Other states coming soon.
It's Christmas time, the season for giving. How would you like to save money on Christmas gifts this year and make money while doing it? Then Power Mall Global is here for you. Power Mall Global is unique. It's not an MLM and not an affiliate program. All you have to do is shop in any one of the 1,000-plus stores, including Sears, OfficeMax, Home Depot, Bed Bath & Beyond, JCPenney, Old Navy, and much, much more on www.powermallglobal.com and surprise your family with the perfect gifts. You'll be surprised on how much you save and get back in rebate checks for a percentage of your purchase. Power Mall Global is absolutely free to use. There's no cost to you, ever. Think of all the traffic and clutter the Christmas holiday brings. Think of the times the stores were out of that certain item that was perfect for your loved ones. Not going to happen anymore. It's very simple. Stay in the comfort of your own home. Click through 1,000 stores. Buy and save on what you want for the Christmas holiday and earn money while doing it. Go to www.powermallglobal.com and check out the millions of products that could be the perfect gift for you. That's www.powermallglobal.com.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona, with my special guest, Marilyn Barnwall. And phone lines are open, folks, 800-313-9443. If you have a question or a comment you want to jump in here, that's fine. I want to continue with this a little bit because it goes beyond this, Marilyn. It's not just that the economists will be found befuddled, scratching their heads, dazed and without solution, but politicians will be confused as to what to advocate, unsure what is potentially effective. The entire argument of inflation versus deflation will turn into a crazed debate. Has that not happened already?
Absolutely, and that is the problem with which Ben Bernanke is faced. Should we have deflation and go into a kind of muddle-along economy like Japan has been going through for all these years, or should we fight inflation? And they think somehow that by printing currency, which is what causes inflation, that they are fighting inflation, none of which makes any sense.
Well, right, and Ron Paul's brought that up in his debates, but, I mean, I visualize this as a great big bonfire out in the middle of the desert, and these people are trying to put out the fire by throwing more fuel on the fire.
That's right. That's exactly right. Good analogy.
Yeah, and it makes absolutely no sense at all. Because really, I mean, I would think that any logical thinking person would say that if you continue to do this as the solution, that eventually this fire is going to grow large enough to you know, burn your house down.
Well, if we lose our economy, basically that opens the door for a new currency called the Amero, Michael. I think that's part of the plan.
Well, there's no question in my mind. I think it's obviously by design. They're deliberately doing this. I think they just want to control its descent, if you will. But I had made a prediction prior to the end of the year that I'm going to put gold into the equation here in a minute, that I believe that this money that the Fed was injecting into the stock market, they were trying to keep it artificially popped up until after the Christmas shoppers got through with their holidays. And since then, and I've been watching the gold market very, very closely, gold has, it's gone up close to $100 an ounce just in the last 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah. Well, in that same article you were quoting, on the bottom of page 2, it says, even the plunge protection team, armed with $1,500 billion in black bag money pilfered largely from Fannie Mae in the two districts harboring the hometowns for the sitting presidents from 1988 to 2000, will not be capable to stem the tsunami of stock market sell orders. They might focus attention on the biggest and baddest corporations, but the banking stock index collapse reveals how the PPT, the Plunge Protection Team, could only hold up the S&P 500 index, but not their buddies in big banks. Sadly, 2008 is the year the system just plain breaks.
Did you say $1,500 billion?
Yeah, that is the first quote I've found of how much money the Plunge Protection Team has, Michael.
That is $1,500 billion. That would be what, $1.5 trillion? Is that right there?
Yeah.
Okay. And you're saying that even with that, it isn't enough.
Not for the banks, huh?
No, I
mean,
when
you look at what Citibank, when you look at what Citibank, go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Well,
that's okay.
When you look at what Citibank alone has in derivatives, and derivatives, just they never did make sense, and they don't make sense now. People who create the darn things can't even explain them to you. But if you look at just what their potential losses in derivatives are, the $1.5 trillion is child's play.
Well, now, having a background with a few years in the mortgage business, you correct me if I'm wrong here, but my take, and I've never had, as you said, even the professionals can't explain derivatives, and I know because I've heard different people try to explain it, and I walk away like the economist scratching my head and going, what? What did he say? But here's what I have concluded from my analyzation of a derivative, and you tell me that I'm wrong. They take a whole bunch of mortgages, they bundle them up, and what they've been doing, evidently, is taking A mortgages, the prime mortgages, mixing them in with Alt A mortgages and some prime mortgages and selling them off to foreign buyers to the point where they're starting to get caught and these mortgages are defaulting and they're coming home to roost. And now it's coming to the forefront where the banks around the world aren't trusting the other banks to sell them a package that they told them they were selling them anyway. Am I close?
That's right. Not only that, Michael, foreign banks have already failed because of our subprime mortgage problem and their investment in them. And that's probably going to be one of the most serious outcomes of this entire mess, because this economy is dependent upon $2 billion a day being invested from foreign nations to keep our lifestyle up because of our trade deficit and debt as well, but mainly the trade deficit. And once that trust is lost, look out. And it's been lost.
Well, that poses another question here, Marilyn, is that what I'm still trying to get my head around is that, all over the world, all of these institutions know, and everybody's waking up to the fact that the dollar is on the – I mean, it's right on the precipice of tanking, and it is declining. And, yes, the plunge protection is – I mean, I can visualize them in there, throwing fuel into the Titanic boilers as the water's coming in, But here you've got these people that are working overtime that are trying to keep this artificially propped up, and it's doomed to fail. It's not going to. The $2 billion a day that is needed for our economy to continue to survive in the budget and whatever they're spending the money on for the war and whatever. Who is foolish enough right now, with the knowledge out there that, I mean, all of these countries are going to other currencies. You know, the Iran is looking at buying money or buying or selling oil in euros and rubles and rupees and so forth. Okay, who is foolish enough to keep giving us $2 billion a day? Or what are we selling for $2 billion a day that anybody has in the world has enough confidence in to make the purchase?
Well, I'll tell you something that I think is even more interesting, and it's part of, by the way, in the book, and that is that Dubai is thinking of trading oil, setting up an exchange that
of
would
course,
trade
yeah.
oil in their currency, which is the dirham, which would be backed by gold. And it would be the only gold-backed currency in the world.
And you know, it's interesting that you say that, and I relate back. I'm going to relate to you a couple of things. First of all, Russell Means mentioned the same thing. They're setting up an entire nation. They're setting up a nation of infrastructure
right.
with the banking system and the whole forth, and their entire currency is going to be backed on gold as well. And what's even more interesting than that is here we've got Dubai. Now, remember, and I had run across this too, Marilyn, where they're talking about setting up an oil bourse, if you will, and they're going to use
petro euros instead of petrodollars, but I think it's gone beyond that now, and I think that's why Iran withdrew that idea in 2005 when they were going to open one in June or July of 2005, was because Dubai came up with a better solution, and that,
okay.
I project, is probably going to happen sometime this year.
Well, see, now that it's amazing, you know, great minds think alike, because that was the next question out of my mouth. I had been doing the journalistic research on Iran and the reasons, the real reasons, not the propaganda reasons that they give us for, you know, the axis of evil and they're terrible people, yada, yada, yada. I know that's bunk, okay? But Iran was going to set up an oil bourse, and interestingly enough, Saddam Hussein had done the same thing. He started accepting euros for dollars just prior to, coincidentally, before we went in there and ousted him.
Well,
so,
if you look, by the way, at the start of the recession, at the end of the Clinton administration, that recession started at precisely the same time Saddam Hussein demanded that his oil for food, oil for medicine program at the United Nations be paid in euros, not dollars. And that recession began to end when we went into Iraq and immediately put it back on the euro dollar or the petro dollar.
Right, and so we've got these people in the administration barking this propaganda and calling Iraq and Iran and Afghanistan and North Korea and Syria, all the, quote, axis of evil. And if you peel away the onion on that and you really realize why they're calling them the axis of evil, it's not because they're any kind of a consummate threat, but because they're getting tired of having to deal by the Bretton Woods Agreement in our
– That's exactly right.
Our dollars, and they're saying, you know what, this is enough of this. We're tired of being raped. You can go ahead and rape your American people like there's no tomorrow, but you're not going to rape us anymore. We're going to start dealing in other currencies. In the United States, like the bully, like the little kid with the football, the bully around the corner, they're stomping their feet up and down, and they're looking for any excuse that they can to convince the American people to back them to go wipe them out.
Yep. Well, part of that, too, has to do with the entire system of banking, that the way we've put it together in the United States. God, I don't know if I can find this part of the article that I was going to read to you about it fast enough, but I've got too much paper here in front of me. But basically, what you're saying is absolutely right. They are tired. The reason we're hated internationally has a whole lot more to do with our banking policies. The way the whole system works is to put other nations into debt. Okay? Oh, here's what I was going to read you. The offer of great riches through trade with the U.S. is the carrot of American foreign policy. The stick is a system of sanctions, such as trade embargoes, ending with the threat of military action. Gaining every nation's participation in this worldwide system of trade is crucial. Let me stop you there.
We're going to have to take a break, but let's continue this after the break, Marilyn. Michael Herzog of The American Awakening. We'll be back in three with more. Stick with us, folks. Really good show today. Be right back.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing. But they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
I'm back with the Awakening. My guest, Marilyn Barnwell, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. I am. Okay, Marilyn, you were in the middle of an article. By the way, the phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. You were reading an article. Go ahead and continue with that, Marilyn.
Oh, gosh, where was I?
Feel free to start over. That's okay. I don't know where you were because it's not in front of me.
Trying to find the right paper. Wait a minute, because I had it right in front of me and I did something with it. But oh, here it is. By the way, one of the things that I want to say before we get out of here, I think that we all need to look at the Mint Act of 1792.
Uh-huh.
Because it may be a weapon. I'm not sure. I haven't had time to research the whole thing all the way through. But the Mint Act says, if any of the gold or silver coins which shall be struck or coined at the said mint shall be debased or made worse as to the proportion of fine gold or fine silver therein contained, every such officer or person who shall commit any or either of the said offenses shall be deemed guilty of felony and shall suffer death.
Well,
that is the Mint Act of 1792.
Well, yeah, but let me ask you. I mean, let me toss this in here. When you say, you know, anybody that debases it, are they speaking specifically of gold coins?
Gold and silver, and they're saying if you reduce the amount of silver, and they specifically give the amount that must be contained in nickels, dimes, quarters, half dollars, and dollars.
Okay, so there you go, because what I was thinking is just of simply gold or silver coins, like you go down and buy at the coin shop. But what you're speaking of is when they basically hosed us back in, when was it, the early 70s, I believe, in the Nixon administration, when we really did have silver in the quarters, and they put nickel plating on it. They put nickel plating over copper.
Right. They stopped using silver in our silver coins. Or tiny amounts of it, in 1976, I think it was, Michael.
It was the 76? Okay. Well, I wanted to blame it on Nixon, Marilyn. Come on.
Well, it probably was. I mean, it was the result of what Nixon did at Bretton Woods. That basically is true. I want to go back to where we were talking about this offer of great riches being the carrot of American foreign policy.
Go ahead. You got the floor. Go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. This is something I think we all need to realize about the system. The whole system is backed by the United States dollar as the world's currency of choice for conducting trade, and using the U.S. military as the world's police force. This is from the book, and I'm reading, so I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Just coming off the top of my head. It's a huge and complex system, so we don't need to describe it fully here. But the essence of the system is to make the world a golden goose for big business. It eliminates risk by ensuring the system's losses will be paid with taxpayer money. It provides job opportunities for the system's administrators by using revolving doors between multinational corporations and the U.S. government. That's the truth. And when you think about it, aside from the wealthy Middle East, there are no more nations worth bringing into this family of indebted nations. And I think this is probably the primary problem we have today. Our consumers have just about reached the limit of their debt. And so the thing on which our foreign policy relies for its success is faltering. Consumer spending is going down. And basically, the thing that is keeping our currency viable in the international market right now is our military and propaganda. And that's it.
That's it. No, you're right. And the other countries are figuring it out. They're bailing out. They're accepting their payment for oil in other currencies. The United States, and that just gives – it's like putting more fuel on the fire. That's making the administration more and more upset, because they know that the curtain is being pulled back and their game's about over. And
yeah.
So the only alternative that they have is to basically bully them, beat them by force, if you will, and to continue to accept – This devaluing currency, because anything less is a disaster on behalf of the United States.
Well, Michael, I want you to go back in your memory to December 25th, 1991. What happened?
It was Christmas.
Thing happened, the same thing that is destroying our economy destroyed the USSR economy. Exactly the same thing. Devaluation of the ruble, which was manipulated by a guy named Leo Wanta, who got...
Now, let me stop you there. Let me ask you,
yeah.
Okay, have you followed the Leo Wanta story?
I sure have. I have fictionalized it and put it in the book. Leo
have
Wanta
really?
Ends up being a big hero in my book, yes.
Well, let me tell you this. I'm going to touch on that for just a couple of minutes, and then I want to get your thoughts on this, because that has been a big controversy. That particular story has been a big controversy on this network for quite some time. And I had a gentleman that came up and reported every week on that. I had gone down the journalistic rabbit hole on Leo Wanta all the way back as far as almost 2 years ago. And in my professional capacity as an investigator, I found that indeed Leo Wanta did exist, and indeed Leo Wanta did file a lawsuit. Indeed, Leo Wanta most likely was, screwed over. He was put in jail. I've got the documents to prove it. But what has happened. And it's just like what has happened to the Bible over time. You know, man gets his hands on it. This the Leo Wanta story, people have picked up on this. And, for example, Christopher Story came out with an article last week. All right, let me stop this. We'll continue after the break because I want to get your thoughts on this. This is very important to me, Marilyn. Stick with us. We'll be back in three. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. I'm going to tell you about this Christopher Story article, Marilyn. I want your comment on it. Be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Who listening out there has an electric bill? Oh, boy, I sure do. Well, what if I told you that if you live in Texas or New York State, that same electric bill can be a lot cheaper? Would you believe me? Well, you should, because EnergySwap.com can save you up to 20% on your electric bill. No joke. EnergySwap.com has rates as low as 10.99 cents per kilowatt. Now, there's no cost to switch. They've got flat rate plans and even award programs. When you switch your service to EnergySwap.com, nothing changes except the size of your bill. Enroll today and start saving money right now. It's Energy-Swap.com. Or you can call 888-238-6397. Again, that's 888-238-6397. Currently in Texas and New York only. Other states coming soon.
If your body isn't feeling too well these days, you're gonna start taking this hemp. I say go to hempusa.org. You may not like what I'm about to say, but you know I'm gonna say it anyway. The government doesn't want the best for you. They keep you down, they keep you blue. They starve your body for all its nutrients. They won't let you grow industrial hemp. It really doesn't make any kind of sense when it's so healthy for the world and useful for you, my friends. I hope Mr. Bush will hear this song, for the heart of America wants this one. Go to hempusa.org. If you're a truther, an anarchist, or renegade, you only want things that God has made. Go to hempusa.org. We offer free shipping anywhere in the States. Go to hempusa.org.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
All right, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your guest, with my guest, Michael Herzog, your host, with my guest, Marilyn Barnwell. Phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Sometimes my tongue moves faster than my brain, Marilyn. Listen, touching on this Leo Wanta thing for a minute, originally when I investigated this, yes, everything I did investigate that I could document led to the fact that yes, he did indeed file a writ of mandamus. Yes, he was in prison. Yes, all this stuff happened. Okay. Mm-hmm. Problem is that people have got their hands on this and started reporting some of these just outrageous and unconfirmed stories, such as shootings at the White House and arrests of Greenspan in Germany. And just the latest one was Christopher Story, who came out with a story on it last week that said Henry Paulson, who allegedly is involved in this charade as well, was shot and killed.
And it was proven to be bogus. I heard he was arrested in Germany, too.
What's that?
I heard he was arrested in Germany.
Paulson? I'm sorry. Paulson was arrested in Germany. But just even last week, Christopher Story wrote an article that said that Henry Paulson was shot in the chest dead.
Oh, I did not hear that one.
And it proved out to be bogus. So, you know, with all of the controversial stories, these people get their hands on it and they start reporting all of this just wild, unconfirmed, unconfirmable stories that seem to parallel the, you know, the decline in the market, the financial markets. And it's not it's outlandish, but it's not proven to be unbelievable. So it's fringe, if you will.
Well, yeah, one of the books that I read to document before I even took this Leo Wanta story and fictionalized it. My Leo Wanta is named William Leonard in the book, but was a book by Claire Sterling called Thieves' World. And she is a former writer for the Washington Post and all of the, you know, New York Times, none of the people who would be into this kind of a conspiracy theory. And she does a full, one or two chapters on Leo Wanta and the two to three people who assisted him in bringing the Russian ruble to ruin.
Right, and but if I recall, and I didn't read her book, but I read some excerpts of it. If I recall, she painted Leo Wanta as more of a kind of a nefarious character.
Sleazy, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and what the reports have come out with these people, you know, domestically that have been reporting on this is this guy is just walks on water, and you know, there's a $4.5 trillion settlement that he is trying to repatriate back to the American people, which to me is, I mean, it's just even if he were to get it, I mean, do you honestly think that $4.5 trillion is ever going to make its way, or quote, like Reagan would say, trickle down to the American people? I don't think so.
Well, we figure out a way for him to do that in my book, Michael.
You do?
But no, you're right. I mean, that is the problem. Well, and in the book, well, I tied it to another story that was an actual news story. If you'll recall, the day before 9/11, Donald Rumsfeld did a press conference where he stated that the Defense Department could not account for $1.3 trillion.
Right, and the head comptroller for that was Dov Zakheim.
And if you take the cost of gold at the time this would have been done, around 1990 at $250 to $275 an ounce, and put it in, 2,000 tons of gold went missing from Russia at the same time from their central bank.
Now, what year was this?
1990 or 91. Well,
Wait, you're getting confused, because Donald Rumsfeld made the statement September 10th, 2001.
That's right, but he was just the reporter. The loss did not occur on his watch.
Okay.
It occurred earlier. And in order to come to $1.3 trillion, I had to take the entire defense budget for 10 years, from 2001, when he made the announcement, back to 1991, if you add the defense budget for those years that came – that was before the war, it came to $1.3 trillion. If you take that money and invest it in gold at the price of gold then and use that 2,000 tons of gold that went missing from the Russian central bank, it comes out to, guess what, $4.3 trillion.
Coincidence. Yeah. Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, that was why I thought it was such a good tie as part of the plot I have in this book.
Well, okay. So, you know, from the story that I did, here again, scratching cobwebs out of my brain, but Leo Wanta went over, made some investment, bought and sold, and ultimately destroyed the Russian ruble.
That's right.
And then he was set up, and I think Mark Rich set him up somehow, and this involves the Vince Foster assassination because he was friends with Vince Foster, and then they put him in jail in, I don't know, was Wisconsin or something like that, and they arrested him on the courthouse steps, and all this whole story. Okay.
So a $14,000 IRS debt.
Right.
And they let him out on a $90,000 bail for $14,000 IRS debt. Right.
Right. So in your journalistic research, I mean, what you're saying is you basically just picked up on what Claire Sterling wrote and then, you know, renamed the guy and put him in a novel, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, you didn't
That's
go
right,
down the journalistic rabbit hole on the guy
on,
and say, okay, this
Donald
this happened, that happened.
Story and said,
what's that?
Here's where the money came from.
I'm sorry, I missed that, Marilyn. What was that?
I just said that's when I also picked up on the Donald Rumsfeld story, and said there's where his money came from, and that it had been taken from the defense budget to give Wanta the money.
What I'm asking you is that, I mean, you picked up on this character, Leo Wanda, you changed his name and you put him in the form of a novel in your book. But what I'm asking mm-hmm. you is, did you actually go down the journalistic path and verify that Leo Wanda indeed did exist and so forth?
To the degree it was possible, Michael, and that's to the same degree you've gone to. I read everything I could read on the Internet. I bought Claire Sterling's book. I looked at things like they had his Social Security number. They had the case numbers of the numbers that had been filed in court. They had the case numbers of the cases that had been filed in Austria, which is where he was fighting to keep the money, theoretically, for the American people or himself or who knows. But yeah, as far as it could be taken, I went. And since I was fictionalizing it anyway, and it made a great ending to my book, I can't say that I would put my hand on a Bible and say Leo Wanta did this. But I'll tell you what,
I'm going to share something with you, and this is why that this thing is really stuck in my crawl all this time. And, you know, like John Stadmiller said, we posted that article up on RBN last week about Christopher Story, and he put a little caveat up there, said we're damned if we do and we're damned if we don't. We posted the article. We didn't know it was true or not, couldn't verify it, okay, but we had so many callers calling in saying, you better post that, yada, yada, yada. And then we had other callers saying, it's malarkey. And so we found ourselves in the position of that we were damned either way. But here's what sticks in my crawl, is that in reviewing the numerous documents, and I know a lot of listening audience out there is familiar with this, and I didn't mean to get off on this tangent, but I want to cover it. In reviewing the documents, there was a couple of memos that I ran across that Leo Wanta had written to Dick Cheney. And in those documents, in those memos, Leo Wanta had alluded to the boxes. And the family, he was telling Dick Cheney that the family wants their boxes. And a light bulb went off in my head because I know what Leo Wanta was talking about when he mentioned the boxes. And this had to do with their transactions over in the Philippines. Well, I have been to the Philippines, and I've been there 6 times. And the boxes that Leo Wanta was referring to, I have seen, I have been in the presence of, I've walked in the bank and seen the contents of, and I actually have pictures of them because I took pictures of them when I was there because I was in an international trade transaction back over there. So this is what is continually stuck in my crawl because I know that Leo Wanta is referring to in that memo to Dick Cheney, the boxes. And what were in those boxes? They were bearer bonds, $100 million bearer bonds that were backed by gold certificates. The question is, where is the gold? And you alluded a few minutes ago to this gold that was stolen from the Russians back in 1991, right?
Right.
How coincidental, huh?
How coincidental. And bear in mind that Leo Wanta's letter to Bill Clinton came at the time Bill Clinton had gone to the International Monetary Fund to sell gold. And it was what Wanta said was his gold. And that was his complaint in his letter to, you know, Clinton and when he wrote it. And that letter was answered by the chief of staff at that time. And shortly after that was when Wanta was put on bond for $90,000 over mm-hmm. this $14,000 IRS debt.
Right, right. And it's so, and here we have other anomalies and coincidences, and it seems like that anybody that wants to peel back the onion and expose Bill or Hillary Clinton, either one, for any of their nefarious activities, they wind up dead or they wind up in prison.
That's right.
And Leo Wanta just happens to be another one. You know, there's so many, as I went
down
this.
They can't kill him because they don't know where all the money is. he's got accounts all over the world.
Right, and knowing the character of these people, they're certainly not going to kill him until they know where the money is, right?
That's right. That's right.
Okay, well, listen, hey, I didn't mean to get off on this, but I tell you, it has always been such a fascinating subject because it really does the reporting that was done reads like a spy novel, and the problem that I ran into before I reached the point where I just said, you know what, I'm not reporting on this anymore, or I'm not allowing it to be reported on, is because people started grabbing this and exaggerating with it.
Yeah.
And,
well,
and every time you see a story, it would get more and more, you know, ludicrous to the point where, again, the straw that broke – well, it wasn't the straw that broke the camel back, but it just – I mentioned on my show last week when this Christopher story came out with this article, I said, well, we'll find out right now if all of this has been exaggerated, not all of it, because I know Lee will want to exist, but all of these, you know, Greenspan being arrested and Paulson being arrested in Germany and Paulson being shot, we're going to find out right now if it's true or if it's not. And we found out it wasn't true. Now, it is true that Leo Wundt exists. I know that. And obviously he was ripped off by some very, you know, underhanded and clever criminals. If he ever gets the money back, I don't know. Probably not. But even if he does, I can't see it filtering down to the American people. They're not going to turn around and write you a check, Marilyn, right?
Well, he's fighting to keep it from the government because he knows the government won't turn around and write a check to the people or to pay debt. They'll use it to spend, to put us further into debt. And I agree with that. And in my book, basically, I make Leo, William Leonard ends up being a hero. Because what he does, one of the things that I know a lot of your listeners say and I say and everybody says, we have to get rid of the Federal Reserve. One of the problems with that is that people don't understand it has to be done slowly, Michael. If you just do away with Federal Reserve, zap, it's gone, it would cause so much chaos and anarchy that we would almost, if not, be at a civil war. What William Leonard ends up in my book doing with this money that he has, and by the way, it ends up being $11.3 trillion or something like that, is he starts with the fractional reserve system, and for a year, instead of 90% of every loan going into new currency, it's 80, and then it goes down to 60, and so on. And that is how you do away with the Federal Reserve slowly.
Well, let me ask you this question, Marilyn, from your perspective, because I've done a lot of research on this, and do you think, based upon the knowledge that you've got with Leo Wanta and the gold, you know, that was stolen out of, I mean, in 1933 when the United States went bankrupt and we flipped over from common law to statutory law, and they basically pledged the collateral of the human, you know, labor to pay off the national debt, which has continued to escalate for the last 70 years. Do you honestly think there's any gold in Fort Knox?
I don't know. I think there's a big question, and I think it's one of the things that need to be audited. I don't know if it's in Fort Knox, but what I do know from several recent articles that I've read from very good financial economic journalists is that they say the gold in Fort Knox belongs to the Fed, not the Treasury.
Right, and some of those bonds that I have pictures of and I have looked at are backed by this gold, and it would make sense to me that the gold really isn't in Fort Knox. The gold is somewhere in Europe. But I'll tell you what, let's take a call.
The International Monetary Fund, I think the gold is on deposit with the International Monetary Fund.
Well, then it also throws into the equation, what about the gold that was taken out from below the World Trade Center when the towers collapsed? And that is true. That they took the gold out of the World Trade Center while the buildings were burning. Out of the bottom of the basement.
There are so many questions that you know, we aren't going to find answers to in our lifetimes, Michael.
That's right, because they're not going to give us any.
No.
Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Michael in New York. Michael, you're on with Michael in Maryland. Go ahead. Hello, Michael. Hello, Michael. Going once, Michael. Have we got Michael in New York? I don't know. I've got a thing up on my screen that says Michael from New York. I wonder if the board operator's out, you know. Oh, he dropped. Oh, okay. All right, very good. So back to where we were. He dropped. I'm sorry. Yes, I mean there's so many of these that go on, and in this line of work, you know, we have to be very careful. Well, and not with a novel, but you know, when we're reporting the news, we have to be very careful on what we report, because if we report something and it's wrong, you know, then it comes back to bite us tenfold.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, this is why. And then the story fascinated me, Marilyn. You know, the Leo Wanta story, because it obviously it does. It reads like a spy novel, only in reality. But when
well,
you cannot
and that's why,
document,
that's why I picked it up and said, "This is too good. There's no way to prove it, but I can sure fictionalize it and put it in a novel."
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Richard in Alabama. Richard, you're on with Michael and Marilyn. Go ahead.
I got a question about the backing of the currency.
Okay.
When I was a young man, you could go to the courthouse and look at your tax classification sheet. You fill out one every time you buy a new parcel of land. Each new owner fills one out. And there you classify it and you sign it. Those are all gone from the courthouse now. And the tax commissioner has no explanation as to why they're gone.
All right, interesting. I'll tell you what, let me stop you, Richard. We got to go to a break. I'll hold you over to after the break, and we've got another caller on the line after Richard. 1 minute each for the callers when we get back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona, with my guest, Marilyn Barnwall. Be right back.
Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Oh, All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. Final segment coming up here with my guest, Marilyn Barnwell. Boy, 2 hours flies here, doesn't it, when you're having fun, Marilyn?
It does, it does.
Let's see. Richard in Alabama, are you still with us?
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. Richard, that is one of the most interesting things that I've heard. I mean, how do they, if those certificates are no longer there, what do they use to for taxation? The deed of trust or what?
These are the tax classification sheets. Each time property changes owners, the new owner certifies that the property is not commercial and it's not for,
that it's agricultural or something. Yeah, okay.
And they have to sign it. And these sheets are not available. They're not in the courthouse. They're not on microfilm. They're not anywhere to be found. And I have this theory that they have been shipped overseas to guarantee the holders of treasury notes that we will never default on overseas treasury notes.
Well,
that's
I have
a darn
to tell
good
you
theory.
That's also one of the theories that I have in my book, that basically if they can take gold, as FDR did in 1933, they can also take any other private property, and that when all of this is over and we're at our financial needs to get the credit that we need from the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund, they will put up as collateral all of the real estate, businesses, et cetera, the land of the United States to guarantee that loan.
Well, I tell you what, that is an excellent theory, and I would have to lean towards, even though I'm not doing a lot of investigation on it right now, I'd have to lean towards stating that that's a very plausible theory. Would you agree, Marilyn?
Yeah, I do agree. I mean, it's even though it's in a fictionalized sense, there's a lot of truth in this fictionalized book, but it's the thing that makes a lot of sense to me. It also explains why the Kelo decision happened. It's a warning that government has no respect for private property.
Well, they have no respect for private property or human life, either one. Okay, well, Richard, anything else?
Oh, by the way, I've noticed that property owned by foreign nationals can be taken completely off the tax rolls.
Really?
Yeah. In Alabama, yeah.
Hmm. How did you find that out?
It was about this industrial development tax abatement process. There was some land owned by a Canadian corporation. It was very valuable land, and it was next to the river, and the governor apparently authorized a tax abatement, not a total tax elimination, but an abatement in order to encourage the construction of some job-producing factory, a railroad car factory.
Hmm.
Then I discovered that the governor, with permission from the IMF, is allowed to remove Alabama property from the tax rolls, shifting the tax burden to the ones to the domestic citizens.
Yeah, I think Americans would be very surprised to find how involved in our property laws and so on our financial system the International Monetary Fund is.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we got to run. We're out of time. Thanks for the call, Richard. Great points. Great input. Marilyn, thank you so much for coming on my show. I appreciate it. I'll have you up again.
It's been great fun, Michael.
When it comes out. All right. End of another day. End of a Friday. I want you to have a good rest of the day, folks, and have a good weekend. Stay tuned to the National Hotel Report with my friend John Statner. He'll be up in just 2 minutes. Stick around. I'm sure he'll have a good show. Be listening. I will. Bye.